Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and again I'll ask you to stand for the reading of the first 11 verses of this chapter. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, beginning to read with verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go unto the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied in a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto the meek, and sitting up on an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him upon thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together with you. We come, dear Father, to learn of you. We come to know you as our Savior. If, dear Father, there are those here that have never come by faith to you, they have heard the words maybe many times, but they have never come and said, Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I need you. Please, that those words be spoken, that no one would leave here today not trusting in you as their Savior. Please, dear Father, that your Spirit will penetrate and will touch the hearts of all the lost. Well, dear Father, we need the hearts of all the saved touched as well. We need to hear from you today. When we come into your house, we should never leave the same. We should learn more of you, know more of you, and be more excited to serve, praise, and honor your name. So please today, touch every heart that's here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Again, this evening and Wednesday afternoon, we'll be carrying through the rest of this wonderful message, this rest of this story. And so please don't miss, come and enjoy it. We find the Lord Jesus coming nigh to Jerusalem. As the Lamb should be taken up and set apart on the 10th day, this Passover week as it comes, you can look to Exodus chapter 12 and read from the 2nd through the 13th verse, and you'll find that the Lord Jesus was coming to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Of course, if you know the rest of the story, this was the time that he came and he was the Passover lamb. But they would go out into their flocks and they would search for the best of the lambs or goats, whichever they would take. but it had to be of the most perfect that they had. You see, God wants us to give us His best, something of great value. So they would go out and they would find the lamb or find the goat, and they would bring it in, and then it was not put to death for 4 days. It was gathered on the 10th, and it was put to death on the 14th. And you see, we have the Lord Jesus entering Jerusalem here on this 10th. He was coming that all could see Him, the Lamb of God. And so you begin in the Old Testament and these beautiful messages that we have. And of course, the first Passover, the Passover that took place back here in Exodus chapter 12, why, that was the purpose that the death angel would pass over. As you look at the plagues, the nation of Israel was exempt as all the plagues would come upon the land of Egypt. They were exempt to all but one, the final one. This was one that they didn't stand by and watch the destruction that God put upon the nation of the land of Egypt because of their disobedience. This last one, however, they had a responsibility. They were told to get the lamb. They were told how to prepare it. They were told to fix it again a certain way. They were told to eat it in a certain way. They were to be dressed ready to travel immediately. And all the instructions were given. But out of all the instructions, none were to be ignored. But the first, the most important, was to take the blood from this lamb or this goat and to place it upon the doorpost, across the lintel, down the other side of the doorpost, on every house. And then that night, you were to go into that house and you were to eat of that lamb and prepare to travel. Because that night is the night the death angel come over the land of Egypt. Again, all the rest of the plagues, and we found there are 10 plagues, and out of those 10, the 10th one was the only one that gave a responsibility to the nation of Israel. They had to believe by faith that this was required. All the rest were exempt. They didn't have to face the judgment that was coming upon Egypt, except this one. And this one, the death angel would have come into their home if they had not listened to the Word of God. And the death angel will come into your home if you don't listen to the Word of God and come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. This Passover, and back in Exodus chapter 12, it said that they're to give this as a memorial throughout their generation. And this was to be done, this Passover lamb was to be offered. It was not in the same respect because they no longer put the blood over the doorpost as they did that single night, that first night in Egypt. But the Passover celebration, the feast, was to be celebrated every year and until the Lord Jesus was the Passover Lamb. And that's where we're at here right now. The Passover Lamb is coming into Jerusalem, is entering in. And so you need to see something that had taken place for all those years, and yet this was to be the final one, because if the nation of Israel would have listened to the Word of God, they would have known that no longer do they need to offer this Passover lamb because He has come. So He enters in on the 10th day, fulfilling the law as always. He fulfilled it each time. His triumphal entry as He come into Jerusalem, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, should have come with a line of chariots and should have come with rows of trumpets sounding. And it should have been a glorious day, a wonderful day, a day of great excitement in the city, awaiting the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we know, according to what we've just read, that He does not enter Jerusalem in that manner. There will be a day that He will come, and He will have the most triumphant entry. And that's when He comes again. We will be with Him. And He will come and He will put to death His enemies. and he will stand and rule and reign here upon this earth for 1,000 years. That will be a triumphant entry for our Lord Jesus Christ. But this too was a triumphal entry. But because he came as he should come. He come as a humble lamb. And as he enters into the city, we find that there are things that need to be taken care of. And so we find that with this glorious entry, he says and tells two of his disciples, says, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." And so as we begin here, we find that much different entry into the city upon this foal, this colt. He comes, never had been ridden before, and so he enters into the city in this manner. He didn't own a donkey. He didn't own a house. He didn't own anything. Because you see, his purpose of coming was to seek and to save those that are lost, not to acquire worldly gain. He owned it all, he possessed it all, and yet when he come the first time, he claimed none of it. He come to seek and to save those that are lost. The Lord Jesus knew exactly where to find this donkey and this colt. He knew who owned it. I believe that the owner of it knew the Lord Jesus and was more than happy to give up this animal for the use to bring the Lord Jesus in. I believe that he didn't question what he needed it for. It was for your use, Lord, if you desire to have it. It wasn't just that he walked in and he took it. He asked, and he was given permission. Zechariah 9:9 is a wonderful verse of Scripture that speaks of this. And so please, this afternoon, why look to Zechariah 9:9, and then just kind of slip on into the 10th verse, because when you get to the 10th verse, you'll see the entrance into Jerusalem, you'll see of his death, but also in the 10th verse, then you'll see that he's coming again, and his glorious strength and power, and will bring victory and peace to this world. And you'll find that in the 10th verse of Zechariah. So Zechariah 9:9 speaks of what we're dealing with today, and 9:10 is the future of when he comes. We look at the 10th verse now. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, and a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded." And so, as we look at this, we find the fulfillment of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, you know, through his ministry, Paul, Peter as well, but particularly the Lord Jesus, when he was here upon earth, he quoted from his word many times. The world desires to get rid of the Old Testament. Many places and churches see no need to have a study in any of the Old Testament books. And that's just a trick of the devil. Because number one, you would never know of the creation, never know of the fall, never know of the first time salvation come. You'd never know of King David and all the beautiful messages that we have in the Old Testament. But the worst would be is that when you read a reference of Scripture that our Lord Jesus quotes, you would have no understanding of it. So it's so important that we not only look and enjoy the New Testament, but that we enjoy and study the Old as well, because that brings such a full understanding to us, to the Word of God. And as you look back into that Zechariah 9:9, and then look to this verse of Scripture here, which is the quote, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. Behold, thy king." Normally a king would come, and he would come and take his proper place upon his throne. But we know the Lord Jesus this time, his throne isn't as we would think it. His throne is the cross of Calvary. That's what he's coming. His purpose. That's why he is there. We know that the Lord Jesus will be lifted up. Look to Isaiah 6:1 again, as you would like to this afternoon. And so these verses of Scripture are beautiful cross-references that help us to see exactly what our Savior is doing. He is fulfilling every word that has been stated before. "Behold thy King. He comes unto them meek and very quiet. He comes to them sitting upon a colt of an ass," an animal that had never been ridden before. That's how he enters the city. He doesn't enter the city with the wonderful banners lifted up. You see great heads of state arrive in another country, or someone comes into our country that is of great power. They honor him. They honor him with the bands and the parades and all these kinds of things. And our Lord, our Savior, when he entered into Jerusalem, it had to be a day of sorrow, because he knew that he wasn't coming in to take his proper place at the throne to lift up, to be lifted up and looked to as he should and listened to as he should be. He knew that they were going to pay little attention to him. He knew that the cross was coming. He also, as this time come, he knew the condition of Israel, of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not a city right now that was a city of godly strength and godly power. The Spirit of God, the presence of God in the Holy of Holies in the temple had long been gone. The presence of godly living and of following the Word of God had left and moved to tradition. So there really was no evidence left in that city of Jerusalem of God other than the temple that stood. And it didn't stand for what it should have stood for any longer. And so it had to be sorrowful to come into the only city that was named to be the city of God, that he would enter into that city, a city that had walked away from him, had left him, had abandoned him, and no longer was the nation of Israel that he come that would represent him. They are no longer representing him. The city that was named to his name is no longer a city that brings honor and glory to him. And so he arrives to this city of Jerusalem. He comes on the 10th day of the month. And when he comes in, he comes riding on this donkey. And so as he comes into this city in such a manner, Jesus surely could have come with anger and with wrath. And he could have come with a vengeance to destroy his enemies right then and there. But again, he come meek and mild and quiet. He come into the city. He come in according to the prophecy. He come in just such a way. This meek and mild, the only blood that was to be spilt, to be shed, was not his enemy's blood, but his own. And he come. Jesus is showing by his entry the life he led. And he come in to do the job that he was sent to do. The sixth verse, again, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Isn't that wonderful that when they were told to do something, they didn't question that they did it? And the seventh verse, and he brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. Christ's commandment was obeyed. There was no question. The man surrendered the animals to these two disciples. They come into the midst of the of where the Lord Jesus Christ was staying, and they had no saddle. And so these disciples put the only thing on there that they had was their coats, their robes, and they laid them over this animal, over this donkey. And then they placed the Lord Jesus upon this donkey. And this is the way that the King of Kings was to come in to his city. And so as we look at these pictures, these beautiful pictures, Romans chapter 12, verse 16, mind not high things, be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, be content. These people, these disciples that were around the Lord Jesus, they didn't possess anything. The Lord Jesus didn't possess anything. This was the plan. This was the way to come into the land, into the city, on this donkey. Let's look to see who attended. This eighth verse, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. There's not any mention of kings, of royalty, of governors, of princes that attended this day. It was the common people. It was the children and the adults alike, but it was the common people that come to see the King of Kings come into the city. As they begin to come into the city, they begin to take the branches, the palm leaves and branches, and lay them into the streets. They begin to take their robes off and lay them into the street. And that is what you would do as a king, one of great importance, of royalty, that come into the city. That's how they would come. And so they treated our Savior, even though he was riding on this donkey, they treated him like a king as he entered into the city. How would you have treated him? How would you treat the Savior of the world when he would enter in such a way? Would you want him to come in a chariot and all the glory, and a beautiful robe and gold arrayed? There's somebody that I can follow. There's somebody that I'll serve. But what would you have done when Jesus come this way? You know, that's what the Scripture said when he was born. He was born this way. Would he come into Jerusalem this way? Is that the way that we're used to? Is that the kind of a person, an individual that you would follow? That you would believe? Or would you say, if that's all he's got, why would I want to follow him? If he can't give victory over Rome, why would I follow him? If he can't take care of my enemies right here and now, why would I follow him? And that same question could go through your mind from the time you saw him on that donkey and you followed him in, and we arrived eventually at the court when he was tried. As we watched him attempt to carry his own cross out to Calvary, out to Golgotha, and couldn't. They put another man there because he had been so beaten and so physically, he just couldn't carry it. What would be going on through your mind? And then you watched them nail him to the cross. And you watched him die. What would be going on through your mind? Is this the person I followed? Why would I want to follow him? Or did you know the Word of God? And did you know that this was to come? And did this just strengthen your faith because you knew the events as they unfolded, that it was just one day closer to total and complete victory when Jesus would die on the cross and be raised again 3 days later? Or would you look at him as our human eyes, we look at him and think, that is pathetic. Why would I serve him? Well, that's the way the world looks at our Savior. Why would I come to him? Why would I serve someone that is claimed to be king and he enters in on a donkey? Why? But the words that were shouted were true. And the words that were shouted as he entered into this city was correct. The multitudes went before and followed, crying, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna signifies, save now, we beseech thee. Save now. Hosanna. What a welcoming word to the coming of his kingdom. Hosanna. Most people wanted the physical, though. They wanted victory over Rome. They wanted to be what they thought they should be in position, and so they weren't ready to deal with their sin. They weren't ready to say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. This beautiful scripture here not only says, Hosanna to the Son of David, but blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. You know, he is sanctified, he's sealed, and he's sent by his Father for one purpose. Not to destroy the enemy, but to save the lost. Now, do you know the Word of God? Do you get excited when our Savior comes in? Does it bother you that he's riding on a donkey? Does it bother you that he doesn't have all the fancy things of the world? Or do you see what he's really worth and what really he's made of and how important and how strong and what victory is going to come? We need to look to what's to come. Blessed is to praise, to celebrate with praise. Praises which are addressed to our God, acknowledging His power and His goodness, and desiring that we can possess the same glory that He has. We need to show His coming with joy. We need to show it with praise. We need to know with strength and comfort that no matter what goes on through the day, we have a God that will strengthen us and comfort us and hold us up and protect us. We shall be singing the words and saying the words, Hosanna. It rings of victory. It rings of His kingdom. It rings of a prosperous kingdom that's to come. We need to be in prayer always for His kingdom, that it continues to grow, that all the world will not see the Lord Jesus as this man that came into Jerusalem on a donkey, that came in and found His way to the cross and died there. We need to show this world that He was not kept by the grave, that victory come. He came out of that grave victorious, alive. He is the victor over death. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is coming again. He is in control. We need to look to Him and depend upon Him. Hosanna in the highest. Let Him have a name that's above every name. Let His throne be raised above every throne. Let us praise Him with all our power and all the breath that we have. Let's praise Him and honor Him. As this was taking place, as the leaves, the branches were laid in the street, as they were laying their clothes in the street, as He was coming down the road, coming into Jerusalem, coming in that all could see, coming in exactly the way it was prophesied He would come in. And yet still, there were those that were there. It was such a day that it moved the whole city. And as the city found their way out to the street, they had a question. Who is this? Who is this? You see, a few knew, but the multitudes didn't. They didn't know what it represented. They didn't know it was the fulfillment of God's word. They didn't know it was the fulfillment of God's prophecy. They didn't know that He was the Savior of the world. Who is this? Who is this? Some looked with wonder, I'm sure. Some looked and laughed. Some were joyful. And some looked with envy and strife and anger as He come into His city. Hasn't changed as today, does it? Has it? We have the same question. Most of the world knows a little bit about the Lord Jesus, but still, upon His coming, they would ask, "Who is this?" And most in the world would see Him just coming on the donkey. That's the way they would see Him. They would see Him that someone that was not successful in this world, someone that didn't have any possessions. So what good could He be? Well, again, my friend, let's look to the Word of God. And let's see that the Word of God is fulfilled. That's God's way. That's God's plan. And it was carried out to the letter. Who is this? Those that were there answered that question. Jesus of Nazareth. That's who this is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Few knew. Most didn't. But when someone asks you, what do you believe? I believe in Jesus of Nazareth. I believe in that Jesus that came on that donkey into Jerusalem that day. I believe that He died for my sins, and I believe that He rose again to give me victory. That's what I believe. When somebody asks, who's that changed your life? Who's that made you all of a sudden come to church and be a different person? Who's that gave you the patience that you have now, the strength that you had? Who is that? What will your answer be? I hope your answer is Jesus of Nazareth. That's who. That's who's changed my life. That's who. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for sending your Son. And we know according to your word that he has come exactly. He did everything, fulfilled the law in every way. Everything was to your doing. And he was obedient in every way. He was here, and dear Father, he is today the King of Kings. He is today our High Priest. He is today our God. And he possessed all those things as he was here upon earth, but he did not serve in those roles at that time. The time will come. And right now, he serves as our High Priest, making intercession for us. And even though he is not here ruling and reigning today, there will be a day that he will come, and he will rule and reign. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the word that we have before us so we can know. And we can look down through at the prophecies that have been fulfilled and know with a certainty that as the prophets are speaking of things still to come, that they will come. But I hope, dear Father, that our eyes are not so set upon this world that if we would have been there, that we would have thought, who would ever bow down to him? Who would ever serve one that would allow himself to be nailed to the cross? The one thief said, if you be God, come down off the cross. But he chose not to. And Father, I thank you that he was obedient. Because if he'd have come down off that cross, my sins would still be my sins. Eternal life would not be an option. Hope and peace would not be there. I praise you. I thank you. And dear Father, I ask that you just continue to empower each one of us. Bring the lost to the cross today. And bring the saved closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.